This is an Ant Podcast Management production. Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast. I'm Amy.
And I'm Nick. We've been together since 2008.
And instead of saving for our future, we spent all our money on travelling.
What is a pension and should I have one?
Strap in as we take you on adventures around the world.
From the high mountaintops to reporting from under the deep blue.
There isn't anywhere we won't take you.
Where are we going today then, Amy?
Today, we're off to Bordeaux in France. Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy.
This is part two of our Bordeaux / France episode. So if you haven't already, then go back and listen to part one.
Yeah, I'm sure in many parts of this episode, we're going to be referencing part one. So still, if you still haven't turned off, my friend, turn off now, go listen to part one. That's where we give the basis of all the facts, game show facts, language lessons, all that jazz. So yeah, make sure you head back and then come back and listen to this episode.
I think what is nice with Bordeaux is we have a diversity of wineries.
But I feel bad because I think the manager, I think that like he thought we were really famous or something.
He did,
which we are not.
My gosh, it's just so Bordeaux.
Part one was great, but let me tell you, what's coming up on part two is going to blow your socks off.
Remember Lulu from Language Lessons in part one?
And if you don't know the person or you want to be a bit sophisticated, then you can say, s'il vous plaît.
So the whole reason we know Lulu is because we met her on a South American border crossing.
On the border, after 5 hours of waiting, not knowing, and me waiting for a bus to do like 24 hours of bus from the border to Bogota.
The Colombian border to
Ecuador to Colombia.
Exactly. Yeah. And you guys was like, no, but Lulu, you're crazy. You're not doing 24 hours and it's dangerous. And I was like, okay, can I sit by you guys, please?
We will look after you.
Exactly. That's how we met. I remember like it was yesterday.
This time around in Bordeaux, we met her on Camille Julien in the city center so she could tell us all about life in Bordeaux. Although she wasn't born here, she is quite a fan.
So, my first question to you is, where is the most beautiful city in France?
Okay, I think my friends and family are going to kill me if I say that. But for me, it is Bordeaux. Most definitely, I feel at home here. I feel like you can do everything by foot. People are kind of friendly, except if you come in August and it's tourist and people are like very like hot. So they're not that friendly, but otherwise, it's a very nice place to be here. I think it's a good mix between the small village in Paris and the history here is amazing. So for me, definitely Bordeaux. And they have great wine, of course.
Since being here, obviously, we've been to some incredible restaurants. Do you think, is that a French thing or is in Bordeaux, is there particularly a high level of restaurant here?
Oh my God, I love this question. I was actually having this conversation with one of my friends that is working in a restaurant. And in Bordeaux, you will find the most restaurant and bar in the square meter. I mean, like, you walk maybe, 2 meters and then you have a restaurant. And then 2 meters after and you have a restaurant. It's growing like mushrooms. Like, literally, you will never starve in Bordeaux. You will always find food.
I'm going to ask some quick questions about busting stereotypes. So, like, proving stereotypes wrong. Okay. And there might be some questions that Amy might be uncomfortable with, and she might cut some of this. But I think we're friends.
Oh, we are.
And we can talk. Now, are French people rude?
I don't think we meant to be rude. I think we're just straightforward and we speak our mind. I think we don't mean to be rude. We're just very in a rush and we don't have time. So we just go straight to the point.
I agree with you. I don't think French people are rude. Next question. Do French people smoke?
Oh, I'm a smoker. I'm sorry. We do smoke. We do smoke a lot. But I was speaking with one friend of mine that is Parisian, and she was here yesterday, and she told me, well, I actually like being in Bordeaux because I feel like she's an ex-smoker. She stopped smoking like 2 months ago, so it's very hard for her. And she was like, in Bordeaux, we can actually like have a coffee and not have anybody smoking. And right now we're in a terrace and I am the only one smoking. I'm very sorry for you guys, but there's nobody else.
Third and final question is the last one. Only three. Are the French good lovers?
Oh, honestly, I'm a big traveler and I've met a lot of lovers all around the world. And in my opinion, nah. I think they are romantic. They are very romantic. They kind of have those big gestures and they will do very cute things. But in terms of like passion, love, I think you guys went to some country where there was a lot more of those.
I'm gonna guess Brazil.
I think you guessed well. But if you want some romantic love, then you should come here. And especially, I mean, we always speak about Paris, but there's not only Paris. Bordeaux, if you go on a wine tour, if you go for like a nice picnic, there's a lot of beautiful thing you can do with your loved one. And actually, it is kind of romantic for like a honeymoon or some stuff like that. So I recommend it for you guys.
People of Bordeaux or this region of France, how are they different from the rest of France?
In my opinion, and that is really something I've like seen this summer, I feel like everybody that live in Bordeaux, I feel like they're always on vacation. Some kind of way and some kind of thing. They have a nice tan because, you know, the ocean is not far away. It's like 45 minutes of car. You can go with the train and like you have like 50 minutes of train and then you're Arcachon. It is not stressful because you don't have to take the metro. Everything you can do by foot. There's lots of bars. There's like lots of open airs. Like if you come in summer, every Sunday night, you can party as hell for free. I mean, like people that are like in a kind of peace that you won't find like in Paris or in other city. And for me, Bordeaux is very relaxing to come and visit.
So obviously Bordeaux is a big wine region, but what is the culture among young people? Like if you go out to a bar, is it kind of like, oh, wine is old news, like we hear about wine all the time, we don't want to drink wine? Is it, how do young people see wine that live here?
They love it. They love wine. You will have always some, like on a table of four people, you will always have one person that have wine. I mean, like beer is nice, but beer is always the same taste. And we're not in Germany, we're in France. Now we're kind of like proud of our country. And so people will take wine as a server. Like I've been working for like bars. Like most of the time people will say, yeah, I would like a glass of wine. And they will always start with a glass of wine. And then it will go like on beers and then on some like other alcohol. Be careful with alcohol, drink safely, that's really important. But no, like wine, it is something. And if you go like in every bar, you will always find like those kind of cave of wine, like just in front of us right now, there's like, I don't know, 100 bottles of wine. Like you will find that all the time. And so young people are like used to it and they will drink it. When they're more like young, maybe underage for drinking, they will go to the supermarket and buy very, very cheap wine, which is disgusting and give you a big headache. But later on, if you have like a drink with just a friend, most of the time people have like one glass of wine. That's for sure. Oh, and a good friend of mine told me that her aunt looks very, very young and is very healthy, even though she's 80 years old, because every single day she has one glass of red wine. Tips.
You just mentioned about like the age of drinking. And of course, we know the legal age is 18. When do you think it's normal for most people to drink a glass of wine with food with their family?
Depend on your family, education and generation, of course. But for us, my dad was allowed to drink one small glass of wine when he was 11, I guess. But for me at home, I wasn't allowed to drink officially with my parents until I was 18. Of course, we do our own experience and our parents doesn't have to know everything. But officially with my parents, it's 18. But in other family, it could be 16. 16 is a good age to start having one glass of wine. And especially here in Bordeaux, there's like a real education around wine. And people like really want you to taste good wine. So when you have like a family dinner, you're not going to take the cheap wine from the supermarket. You're going to take like a good wine, 30, 50 euros a bottle. And so because this is a good wine, then you can try the wine. And I think it's more about education than it is about drinking.
Now, British people will know there's a big national debate on the pronunciation of scones, like a cake bread thing that you sometimes have with afternoon tea. Is it scone or is it scone?
Can we just get a... I know this isn't an England episode, but which one do you think it is?
I think it is scone.
Okay. I'm one of those people, I flip back and forth. Like, I say both of them, I think. Maybe with when I'm with posh people, I say the posh one. I don't even know what the posh one
is. So just say it now. Say, I would like a scone.
I'd say scone, yeah, I think.
Yeah, scone sounds too unnatural.
Is that the posh one then?
I think that, yeah, I think scone is the posh one.
Oh, we're not posh.
A bit like COVID. I hope I don't catch COVID-19.
People who say COVID should get it.
No, yeah. You deserve
Stop
it.
Stop saying COVID, it's COVID, for goodness sake. Right, back to France.
The scones gone debate in the UK. Well, they have a similar debate in France with chocolate croissants.
Actually, chocolatine is going to be much easier for you guys to say than pain au chocolat.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue a lot easier, like chocolatine. I feel very French when I say that. It seems to have gone even further here in France. You were saying that with the tips. What happens with the tips here?
So when you go in some bars in France or a restaurant, you will have like two jars to put your tips in. And so on the jars, it's written like pain au chocolat. And on the other jar, it's written like chocolatine. So basically, the bar is asking you to vote for which one you think is the best. Like the normal way to say this kind of pâtisserie. Is that an English word? Pâtisserie? So it is a real debate. Like really, if you go to Sud-Ouest, so Bordeaux, say chocolatine. But if you go to Paris, don't even try to say chocolatine. Go for pain au chocolat.
Which one do you prefer? I think I prefer chocolatine.
Yeah, well, I've always known pan au chocolat. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, pan au chocolat.
But chocolatine, like rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah, it does. I like it. It sounds like a little song. Chocolatine. Yeah, that's my
so
favorite.
We are Bordeauxians.
Yeah, that's not the word. I would tell you what the word is, but I looked it up on Google and I don't know how to pronounce it. So I'm just not going to get it wrong. Right. Let's go into our game. French or fiction? Is it French or is it fiction?
Français or fiction? Hello, Jenna.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Hey.
Good, yeah, thanks. How are you?
We're good.
Good, thank you.
Cool.
Nice to meet you both.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
My name is Jenna Lindholm. I teach Spanish. I'm from the Chicagoland area and I love to travel. So that's how I found your podcast.
Nice. Have you, don't worry about the answer, like you don't have to tell us a lot, but have you listened for a long time or only a few episodes?
I actually looked back to see when I started following you and I found you in 2020.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
I look back to see that you've been recording since 2015.
Yeah.
We have.
But I will say, I think I have listened to all of your episodes.
Whoa.
I think so.
There are a lot. Nice. That's impressive.
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time you've wasted.
Yeah. I now work remotely, but I used to listen to your podcast on my way to work. Actually, I was started thinking like, wow, I could do life better. I could have a little bit more fun and have some more flexibility. So you guys really inspired some major change for me.
Oh, wow. That's really exciting.
And tell the listeners why you're on the show right now. How did that happen?
Well, I follow you on Instagram. And I think I just always kind of get myself into unique situations. And so I responded to one of your stories about being on the show and getting involved with a game that has to do with French, which I don't speak any French. I've never studied French. But I said, I teach Spanish, so maybe my language skills will cross over. And then when you told me you picked me, I was like, oh no, what have I done?
Then got nervous now. Yeah. Well, you're doing great. You don't seem nervous at all.
Oh, thanks.
We thought we'd choose you because you're a language teacher. We thought it makes it a harder challenge to see if we can fool you on the game. So, Nick, do you want to run us through what are we doing on French or Fiction?
Okay, so we will shortly be playing you three different clips or three different people, and they're saying three different sentences in French. Okay. And you need to decide who is the French person or people. There could be more than one, or maybe you might think that none of them are French.
Okay, I love this.
Okay, so we're going to start with person number one.
Bonjour.
Okay.
Oh, that was quick. Okay.
Yes.
I see the challenge.
The other sentences are a little longer, but the first one is just bonjour. Do you want to hear it again?
Yes, please.
Bonjour.
Okay, so that's person number one. Person number two.
Bonjour. Bonjour.
Okay, and on to the final person, number three.
Bonjour.
I think the bonjour is a little hard. I mean, when we move on to sentences, it might get easier.
Yeah, it should do.
I have a guess, though. I feel like, okay, I'm totally going to put my foot in my mouth, right? That's the point of the game. So we laugh a little
bit. Go for it, yeah.
Person number one, to me, sounds like they might speak, they might have a different first language than French, maybe. Person number two sounds like they speak French, but almost like they could be a language teacher. They're speaking super clearly, something like that. Person number three, I feel like the end of how they said it, they added a different sound, a different vowel. It could either just be casual speech or it's not their first language. Maybe they're all French speakers, but I'm going with number two.
Okay. You think number two is French, but the others are not?
Yes.
Okay, let's just hear clip number three one more time. That, don't read into that. I just wanted it to be fair that they've all been played twice.
Okay.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Okay, so we're going to go back to person number one again.
Je m'appelle Gustavo. J'y habite Bordeaux.
Do you know what he said?
I'm going to guess I don't remember what he said his name was, but that he's from Bordeaux.
You do speak French.
He said, my name is Gustavo, okay. And I live in Bordeaux. Person number two.
Je m'appelle Marion et j'habite à Bordeaux.
Okay. I think the second is an automated voice, like not a real person.
Ooh. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, moving on to person number three.
Je m'appelle Louis, j'habite à Bordeaux.
Are these the same people?
I do think two and three sometimes sound a bit similar.
Well, they're both women, so.
Yeah, but it's not the same person.
I don't really remember, but I feel like one and maybe also three. Are they the same people as the first time?
So
you've got person one, person two, and person three.
Oh, they're the same people? I have a totally different opinion now.
They're the same people, yeah. You look really shocked. You look really shocked. What are you thinking?
Now, I think Gustavo's a French speaker, but the second audio, the first part sounds like someone's real voice, but the second part sounds to me like if you play a clip online, like, how would this word be pronounced? Yeah. And there's an automated recording. Mm-hmm.
A bit like on Google Translate.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's no chicks in there. These are real people.
Yeah, the game's not to decide if you're a human or a robot.
it's French or Fiction.
I ruined the game already.
You're playing a different game.
Okay, so let's move to the third and final round. So again, these are the same people, person one, two, and three, but they're saying a different sentence. So person number one.
In France, j'adore manger le fromage. Très magnifique.
Okay, do you know what he said? I guess.
Something's great. I think he said the word, I don't even want to say it because I'll butcher it. I think he said the word for cheese.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know this because I was recently in Guatemala and met some people from different countries and everybody was saying where they're from. And I said, oh, I know one word in French. I tried to say cheese in French and I said fromage. And the person said bon voyage or something like that. I don't know. I'm like, I totally butchered it because you didn't even understand what I said. My one,
your one French word.
Bon voyage.
I'm pretty soon after that, you put the box on Instagram to see like if I could decipher. And when I responded, I was laughing so hard because I was like, I can't even say one word.
That's funny.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But so, you're right. He did say cheese. So I think okay. I think the sentence is, when I'm in France, I like to eat cheese.
Yeah.
Of course. Why
going
not?
Very stereotypical with our French.
Yeah. Not very inventive of us, of a sentence. So that's person number one, Gustavo. That's him completely done now.
Now this is person number two.
Quand je suis en France, j'aime manger du fromage.
I know what you mean about her sounding like a Google Translate.
She sounds quite like perfect with her audio, right?
But she is real.
Do you know what I mean? Like it sounds very like studio quality audio.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quand je suis en France, j'aime manger du fromage.
She's still a robot. Doesn't matter what's said. She's still a robot. That's it's so not funny. A real person.
Okay, person number three.
En France, j'aime manger du fromage.
Okay, you must have some idea now, maybe in your head, of who's a real French person and who's not.
Yes, I have a lot of false confidence in my answer. I'm for sure. I know for sure.
Okay, so I'll go through each person. I'm going to ask you if you think they're French or not, and they will be able to tell us if you are correct or incorrect. So, person number one, do you think he is French or not?
Yes, I think he is French.
I'm sorry. I am Brazilian.
Yeah.
Brazilian. I should have trusted my initial gut.
So he fooled you. He's not French, but yeah. He obviously does a good French impression.
Very good. He was the person that at first I said, oh, he sounds like he has a different first language. And then I said, no, he's definitely French. So he fooled
me.
As soon as
you said, I think he has a different first language, I thought she's good. Like you can tell, you know, you're good with language, but then you changed and got it wrong.
Yeah, you're like doubting yourself. Okay, so person number two, do you think they are French or not?
So this was the one you thought sounded like a robot.
No.
You don't think she's French?
No.
No, you're wrong. I'm the French person.
Oh.
So she's French. Oh, no.
Oh, she was the one that I was so confident was not even a real human, but she's a human and she's French.
Wow. Okay, so far, two incorrect answers. Can you redeem yourself on the third and final person?
Person number three, do you think she's French or not?
Okay, first person wasn't. Should I do some test-taking strategies here?
Yes.
First person wasn't. Second person was... To be honest, I did not think she was, but I think I should bet against myself because I haven't been right so far. So I'll bet against myself and say yes.
So you think she's French?
Yes.
No, that's not right. I'm English. I'm not French.
Oh, no.
Never doubt yourself.
Yeah, you
were so close to getting that one right. And we couldn't help you, but you were so close.
Yeah. It's
If you stuck to your instincts on Gustavo, the first guy, and then Louise, you would have had 2 points.
Oh. That was tough.
It was tough. And actually, we were a bit worried, Amy, weren't we, that it might be too easy. But actually, listening back, that wasn't easy. That was tough.
I really had to think. And it didn't go well for me.
Well, Jenna, thanks for taking part in our game. You're a good sport, good fun. You got 0 out of 3 correct. But thank you very much for playing along.
This was so fun.
Now on with the rest of the episode. Is it French or is it fiction?
Français or fiction?
That was a French or a fiction game. oui, oui. I should stop doing the accent because it sounds like we're taking the piss. We're really not.
We're jealous.
But after that... close game there that we have definitely recorded at this point.
I really enjoyed that game.
That was exciting. It really got down to the hair in the tooth? Is that no? What's nope. the saying?
You're talking about when you like do something by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think I've just mixed up two sayings. That was a good game there.
Loved it.
What's next?
Well, we know that Bordeaux is famous for wine. I think we've established that by now. Do you know they grow wine in Bordeaux?
They don't grow grapes. Wine.
All right. You know what I mean? They produce wine. You could say, in fact, if you were me, I'm sure you'd agree, you could say Bordeaux is the city of wine. Well, there's a tourist attraction with this exact name, Cité du Vin, and we went there to meet Aurélie.
My name is Aurélie Lascourège and I'm in charge of PR here at Cité du Vin.
We asked her, what exactly is this place and what can people do here?
Cité du Vin is a unique cultural place in the world and in Bordeaux. It's a place dedicated to wine, where wine is presented in its cultural, historical, patrimonial and universal dimension. So here in this big museum, we talk about wines of the whole world and not especially of wine of Bordeaux. And we try to explain this very ancient history and how it has changed the life of men, their habits, their territories since very ancient time.
I think one of the most interesting things about this place so far, we haven't been around just yet, but is the architecture. So it's a very modern building. Can you, for people who are listening and can't see it, can you explain to us what it looks like and why it looks like that?
Yeah, the building is really unique and modern, and which makes a difference with the rest of the city of Bordeaux, which is very historical. It reminds of the 18th century. And here we have a big building made of glass and of wood and very round, so like a masterpiece of architecture. And the architects were really inspired by the wine itself and its roundness to create this building. And so they wanted to remind, you know, when you do wine tasting, of the wine swirling into the glass. And that's the main explanation of the shape of the building. It reminds us of the Garonne River, which were next to the grapevine itself. So many reminders of the wine world. But yeah, a very big building made of glass and very round.
Mm. Yeah, like when you look at it, it really looks like it's swirling round and it has so much movement to it. It's really interesting. So when tourists come here, first I was surprised when I turned up when this place opened at 10 that there were so many people outside, because I just thought if it was wine, I didn't know that it was all about the history, but I thought people coming here at 10 in the morning to drink wine. But like you said, you can learn about the history here. So when tourists come, what can they expect to see?
We have a big permanent exhibition, which is a digital and immersive experience where you can walk freely between 19 thematic areas, where you'll learn about how to make wine, the history of wine, gastronomy, the aromas of the wine. So about the Bordeaux history itself, the landscape, wine growers will be talking to you to explain how they have to manage the climate, the soils to produce their wine. So you can learn really lots of information about the wine world. And here, yeah, you can expect to be surprised by how it's present in every part of the world and for so many times. And yeah, it's very a universal culture.
So when tourists come here, is it best for them to pre-book tickets? Would that be your advice, or can they just turn up?
They can come at the Cité du Vin and buy the ticket directly at the ticket office. But yeah, we do have a website where you can prepare your visit, learn about our activities, what is the permanent exhibition, what are the cultural activities at the moment to do, and also to book their tickets in advance for their visit. It can be interesting if you're coming at a crowded moment of the year or stuff like that. Yeah, it's always sometimes best to book it in advance.
Le Cité du Vin.
The building, it looks really impressive, just from the outside. You know what? I really won't like me saying this, but you don't even have to go in. Just look at it from the outside. It's beautiful. Just come and have a look.
Definitely go inside.
And then when you get there, think, oh, we've come all this way. We might as well go in. It's very impressive inside and out.
And the materials it's made out of is everything to do with wine. So there's lots of wood to represent the wine barrels, There's lots of cork in there for the cork that goes in the bottle to preserve it. There's many others. I'm just forgetting my materials at this moment in time.
Grapes. Shoes made out of grapes.
That's it. Yeah, grape. Grape shoes. You don't have a pair of grape shoes. You're a mug, aren't you?
Those shoes are grape. Do you say my shoe? Do you say my shoes are great? No.
Oh, gosh. Now, on this show or on this podcast, we have made it very clear that we're the type of travellers. We love being with local people and we're into food. We bloody love a bit of food. But we're not museum people. But I can, hand on my heart, say I did actually enjoy Le City du Vin. And that's not because I'm a wino or anything like that.
Because you're not really.
Because I'm not actually. I'm not much of a wino. Like I enjoy like vineyard tours and I think they're really pretty. But in terms of drinking lots of wine, that's just not me. Like I'd rather have one nice glass rather than like a ton of loads of not nice wine.
What's the stuff they drink in Australia? Goon? Yeah, goon.
That is literally what I had in my head. And I thought, can I slate the Aussies? I mean, they slate themselves for that. Goon, if you don't know what goon is, so when you make wine, the finest wine is what comes from the grapes, like first off. Then they like, this is not technical terms here, but then they like press the grapes more, get the worst wine out. Then they press it again. Then they press it again. I think it's when they press it like four times, they make this thing called goon and it's gross.
But you get what you pay for. It's cheap and it gets backpackers drunk when they're traveling around Australia.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, if you're a backpacker, it's a great price. Does it come in a carton?
Like a box. A cardboard box. So would you, Amy, prefer a massive crate of goon or one glass of good wine?
I think I'd rather just, yeah, get the one glass of wine. Yeah. That's exactly my point.
Quantity, some people like quality.
There you go. Just a classy girl. What can I say?
That's right.
Yeah, going through the museum is really cool. It's really interactive, actually. So it's not like one of those boring museums where you just all you can do is walk around and read essays that have been posted on the wall. It was really good. There's like loads of light shows and sound shows when you're in there. There was one particular bit where you like sit at a dining table and then there's people projected across the table to you and then it becomes a video, but you're like sitting in the video. That was quite cool.
There's a bit where you can smell different things. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
You just like, you puff this little, I don't know, air puffer thing.
A bit like what women used to use to put perfume on like back in the day.
That's it. And I can't remember exactly what we were smelling, but we were smelling lots of different things to do with wine.
Everything, well, not just to do with wine, everything around the house, like different spices and herbs. I think some things weren't even related to food. Yeah, just different products you find around the home or just in general life. Yeah, so that was good. So yeah, it's a museum that really hits all the different senses. And this is only one part of one of the floors. There's several floors of things to do. And finally, there was one bit that was really calming, but also scary at the same time. Do you remember when we were laying down? So there's like these sofas that are in a circle and we were surrounded by something. Was it loads of like, was it curtains? So you felt really cozy on the inside, right?
Yeah, and you're looking at these lights above you.
Yeah, but when you lay down, the sofa makes you like you're not just sitting there, you're laying down, so you're looking at the ceiling. And then, yeah, it's like a light show above you, but you've got speakers in the sofa, so it's like surround sound. There's some different sounds in there, like there's like women screaming in it, and then it sounds like they're having sex, then it sounds like they're laughing, and it just gets a bit creepy, doesn't it?
Yes, at one point it's creepy and sexual, but like in a weird way. And yeah, I remember you got like this calming music and then it gets a bit dark and creepy, and then you got someone going like like laughing.
Yeah, just,
but then then like you hear people going like and it's like, what's happened? And like, you're in a museum with like, there's loads of people around you, there's loads of families, young kids, and you're lying there just listening to
someone go,
like, okay.
This is different. Yeah, it was an experience. So yeah, we really would recommend Le City du Vin and the gift shop, which that's what we're all there for in a museum, right? The gift shop. Like we said, they're selling stuff like grape trainers. I mean, what more could you want?
Amazing. Now, our tour around City du Vin was followed by lunch in the restaurant upstairs. and we couldn't turn down the opportunity to speak to a real French chef.
Hi, my name is Margot, and actually I'm a sous chef, but I'm going to be chef in 1 month.
We asked Margot why so many wannabe chefs come to France to study cooking.
Yes, maybe because I think we have a lot of product and culture. I don't know if it's like I say it in English. I don't know. Maybe we have a good vision. We are good in pâtisserie, in bakery, and almost in salt plates. So I don't know. Maybe they like just the mood in France, and they like to see us like, yeah, not good.
And is it to do with like the style of cooking as well? Like, are there specific like techniques that you use here?
Here in the restaurant, maybe not really special technique. We use almost classical because this is a classical French restaurant. But after we try to twist it with a new taste and something more fresh. So
what actually is classic French cooking?
Give you an example, maybe ratatouille, you know, poulet rôti, everything like this. It's an old plate, really, who was made a lot of years ago, maybe 20, 50, 60 years ago. And we take it and now we can change the taste a little and make it more younger because you can change some vegetable inside, some sauce. So everything like this for make a new plate.
Are there any specific foods or like produce, meat, vegetables, but specific food for this region of France in Bordeaux?
Ah, yes, you have a lot. Really, in the West House, you can have different plates of bakery specific. For example, in Bordeaux, this is a cannelé. This is really the most important product there. If you go more in the south, in the Landes, you have a lot of duck with the foie gras, the canard. You have the magret. And more in the south, in the Pays Basque, you have like achoa of beau. You have really, really a lot of specific plates all around the France.
So after a long day working, cooking amazing food, when you get home, do you eat basic, simple food?
A lot of time, we don't eat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. Because we eat here in the restaurants, everybody together. So we have team meal. Yes?
Yeah, team meal.
Yes, 2 times by day, every midday and every evening. And we cook for the team. Everybody eat together. And after we work. So when you go home at midnight, you don't want to eat. You just want to sleep because the day after you begin at 8:30. So
it's a really good benefit of the job.
Oh yeah, it's not too bad, but we don't eat what we cook for the clients. Huh?
Okay, so is that meal more simple?
Oh yes. Maybe sometimes it's just pasta of a little meat, croque monsieur, basic things, but it's always good to eat together.
So for tourists that are coming here and they're coming to La Cité du Vent, sorry for my accent. So if they come to this restaurant, what sort of food would they expect to eat?
It depends, really. Sometimes you have
foreigners.
Yes, foreigners, thank you, who comes and they want to eat just specific French plates, all the one and all of these things. And you have people from France, some tourists, who just want to eat something more special. So we try to do a twist with the two and a mix. And so it's for this, when you see our cards, you can see some really basic French plates, like the foie gras and everything, and sometimes more funky one. So,
what country in the world do you think has the best food?
France. Of course, France.
Easy answer.
Yeah. I think it depends what you like to eat. If you want more spicy, it's maybe, I don't know, China, everything like this, more Asian. South America. It's really good too. Huh? I think it depends more of your taste and what you research in when you eat in your meal.
Is it true, like on television, on TV, that chefs are always angry and shouting?
No way. No. Of course not. And we are just the people. But I think chef should be a leader and not a tyrant. I don't know if I can say it in English. Tyrant.
Yeah. Like a leader. Like the...
Yeah, you have a leader who should see the example and do everything with them. Take care of your team, because you can be the best chef of the world. If you don't have a team, you are nothing. So take care of them, be good with them, and just fair.
That's a very good answer. And so I'm sure you'll take your own advice with your new job. So good luck when you become the chef.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So you thought that Bordeaux is all about food and wine? Well, you're wrong. Our final stop was the Digital Arts Center. Bassins des Lumineres. Amy, please help me.
Oh, I don't know.
You said it really good earlier.
Bassins des Lumineres.
Ah, brilliant. Digital Art Center. Now, we don't normally like kind of art galleries. We spoke about museums earlier. I would say particularly art galleries. They drain me. Okay. They do.
What a good advert.
No, but you haven't let me finish. But this wasn't your average art gallery.
So dark and scary.
So you walk through these like iron dark doors and it's pitch black until your eyes adjust, and then you can see all the light art around you that's moving. So like as you're walking, it's really disorientating and you're kind of falling all over the place. But wow, what a different art gallery.
Yeah, it's in this like really massive abandoned derelict and like really ugly building, but that's what makes it look so impressive.
So at the moment we've got a bunch of black and white images just as a mosaic around the entire room. The room is massive. How can we describe how big this is? Just a factory.
Like an aircraft hangar. And there's lots of water in the middle, and if you're not careful, like, there's rails so you don't fall in. But I'm very aware, because it's so dark, I can see where the water is just about, and I'm trying not to fall in.
Because there's a big pool of water in the centre, it's kind of reflecting the images off as well. So it seems like there's art literally everywhere. Yeah, I'd have to agree with Nick on this one, because... Well, like I said earlier, we're not museum people, but we're also not art gallery people, despite the fact that I studied art and photography for like 20 years of my life.
But that's why you now hate it.
Well, I never really liked galleries either, even though, yeah, GCSE, A-level and university had to go to them. But there we go. Made some wrong life decisions there. Yeah. Just check out our Instagram, you'll see how bad I am at photography. I forgot what I was going to say.
The Digital Art Gallery, it was amazing. It's in like this old World War II bunker, and I believe it's also a place where they either do or used to keep submarines, but like that's what it looks like, doesn't it? Because
yeah,
there's loads of
true.
Water
it's
in
like
there as well.
It's like a Bond lair, right? And actually, from the outside, it is one of the most hideous buildings I've ever seen. So much so that we didn't know this was the building we were going to, but from our hotel, we were looking at it. You could see it from our window. And I said to Nick, like, what on earth is that building? Like, you would... redecorate surely, or like knock it down. It is so hideous. And then we were walking with Google Maps to get to our next activity, and I was like, is it that building that we've been talking about? Yes, that is exactly where we're going.
It was quite spectacular inside. Everywhere you look around you, 360 degrees, there are like moving images displayed on the walls. There's music, feels very immersive. You feel like you're in this strange world full of color and sounds. And you remember we went to there's like the main big room, but there's also a smaller room, the cube or whatever it was called.
Yeah, I think it was called the cube.
It's like we're on this weird journey through this like other dimension,
And you were really enjoying it, Amy. And at one point I said to you, like, I need to leave. I'm having a sensory overload. It was too much. And I think I was hungry at that point as well. But I was just like, it's too loud, it's too bright, and I'm hungry. But apart from that, like, I was super, super impressed with the whole experience. Way better than any art gallery I've ever been to.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was just, you felt like you're inside the painting, and especially if you're like walking as the painting's moving across the floor, it's so disorientating as you're walking. But yeah, I mean, it was showing all artworks that, like, from Van Gogh to Impressionism to
Monet, I know him,
Renaissance,
Claude
paintings. Claude Monet was in there, yeah, like all these like classic painters, but in a completely modern and different way. And that is what I really loved about this, because I am not the type of person to go to a gallery and stare at Monet's paintings for a few hours, but it transformed them into something that I would look at, and I was completely mesmerized. And even though, Nick, you were overwhelmed, like, I think it depends what sensory input that you like. Like, for me, sound, the type of music that was in there, it's very like trancey. In the cube, it was very trancey, and like, you just feel really high, and you're just sitting on the floor. You're allowed to sit anywhere in the room because everything is the painting. And it was kind of showing in the cube, it was different. It wasn't just all like Claude Monet and stuff like that. It was more scientific, and I think that's why it was my favorite room. It was, so each video lasted maybe like 6-7 minutes, and it would move on to a different one. But yeah, it was like cell, like it felt like you were inside a cell and it was multiplying in front of you, and then suddenly and you're just magnifying out, and then you see everything, and it was so deep, it made you feel high, I think, and it relaxed me. All that sensory input's great for me. Loud music, really calm, and yeah, just all the light. I was loving it. I was really hungry too, but I wanted to stay.
It was great. So if we could get Amy to pronounce it one more time, we'd recommend, I mean, it's going to be in the show notes, but we'll recommend that you guys give it a visit. Amy, what's it called?
Bassin de Lumière. But I feel like any French person would be like, you said that so wrong. It's unbelievable. So Bassins, so Bassins, Des or De, Des, Lumière. So Lumieres. And like we said, it is going to be in the show notes. Along with everything else that we have spoken about or recommended, we will drop some links in the show notes.
We are now towards the end of our Bordeaux adventure. Let's just discuss our final thoughts on Bordeaux. What do you think, Amy?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, growing up in the UK, I think we're fed, because of the whole rivalry thing that we were talking about in part one, we're kind of fed this idea that, oh, it's France. Like, we're competing with them, so we don't want to say anything there is good and stuff like that. But as soon as you get there, you can't say it's not good. Like, the food is good, the wine is good, the country, like, they've got great weather. I think it's a great option for travel, particularly for people, if you like a city break and you're a big foodie and into your wine, or even if you're not so much into wine, it's still a great place to go. But yeah, I'd say Bordeaux should be top of your list out of anywhere we've ever been, because we do a lot of like adventure travel and kind of it's challenging and we're out of our comfort zone. I'd say this was our most comfortable trip.
Yeah.
And our most indulgent as well. Like, if you just want a weekend break or a week and you just want to shove food in your face, be waited on, and have a real like city break holiday, this is the place to go.
I can't say many things better than that. The only thing I would mention is just, I thought Bordeaux just oozed class. It was a beautiful city. I felt more classy being there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And just being next to Bruno, I felt pretty classy as well.
Yeah, I wish I'd worn a suit for that tour. First tour guide I've ever known to wear a suit. A bit like how Richard Ayoade, Travel Man, always wears a suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just a classy place, a beautiful city. lots of options if you do like your city breaks. And of course, you can get out the city and go into the countryside to the wine country, the vineyards that we went to. So I was very impressed. It was beautiful, Bordeaux. And like I said, it made me feel like a classy person just being there.
For a city break, what would you give it out of 10?
Whoa, okay. We haven't prepared that. You've sprung that on me. But
I have. I just thought, you know what? That idea just came in my head and I'm going to throw it out there.
But I can confidently say, yeah, if anyone out there does like city breaks, then, I mean, I'm thinking probably is a 9 out of 10. I would stick with that, yeah. It's hard to give anywhere a 10. I don't know what would be a 10, but just for a city break, 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that because I'm trying to think, why is it not a 10? What could have been better? And I'm not really sure, actually. But yeah, I agree. I feel like I can't really give anywhere a 10 out of 10. So really, it's out of 9, isn't it?
Because 9 out of 9. 10. Congratulations, Bordeaux. Do you want to put that on your website? What the foe rated 9 out of 9?
Right, so thank you so much for listening to our Bordeaux adventures. We really hope that you make the journey to Bordeaux because it's definitely worth it. All our links and all recommendations will be in the show notes. Or if you have any extra questions, you can always get in contact with us on Instagram. Or you can drop us an email at whatthefoepodcast@gmail.com.
Okay, guys, we'll see you next time. We've got way more content coming up in Series 5. Thanks for joining us. See you soon.
Au revoir.
Before we wrap this up, we've got a question for you.
Is your boy Tarquin going on a gap year?
Is your gal pal Rachel off to eat, pray, love herself silly?
Then the best way to support this show is to share it with all your travel buddies.
Thanks. Bye.